Hello, I'm Father Ray Petrucci. Welcome to Thoughts for the Week. We're going to have a wonderful program today, but before we begin, I need to turn to you, as I do at the beginning of every program, and ask you, our listeners, to consider contacting us and letting us know about your ideas. Perhaps there are topics you would like us to investigate. We'd love to hear from you. Now, you could either send us your comments in an envelope, just put a stamp on it and address it to Thoughts for the Week, Post Office Box 7466. That's Post Office Box 7466. Greenwich, Connecticut. The zip code in Greenwich, 06836. Again, that's 06836. Also, if you're on the computer, please feel free to email us at clemons10@aol.com. That's C-L-E-M-O-N-S, the number 10, at aol.com. While you're on the computer, I invite you to go to our internet magazine, Spirituality for Today. You could find that at spirituality.org. at spirituality.org. And you'll find articles and other features, and you'll also find our radio program archive there, so you can listen to Thoughts for the Week at your convenience. And we do hope that you might take advantage of that. Well, turning to today's program, first off, regrettably, I have to admit that my co-host, Dorothy Rear, could not be with us today, but we're delighted that our guest is, and we'd like to welcome Maureen Giardiello, who is the coordinator of Respect Life for the Diocese of Bridgeport. Maureen, welcome.
Thank you, Father Ray. I'm glad to be here.
And we're delighted to have you here, too. And you have an extremely big topic, life.
Yes.
And respect for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd like to pick up on that word just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
What do we mean, well, if we were to look at life, our life, and what it means to respect it? And I'm just wondering if you have any thoughts on that, you know, respecting life.
Well, you know, as you know, our faith teaches we're created in the image and likeness of God. And so, you know, that's really how we should be approaching each other, right? Mm-hmm. Recognizing the God within us.
Yeah, we always talk about being sons and daughters of God and family of faith. And the people of God.
Right.
So we have God's fingerprint on all of us. And from that comes, I think, we might consider our self-worth.
Mm-hmm.
Not being or not dependent on any human or arbitrary norm.
Right.
But rather the fact that we are God's people.
Yes.
And I know that your area of respect life has a lot to do with not only life at its earliest stages, but also throughout life in its later stages.
Yep.
We were going to talk about a couple of topics that we mentioned on a previous program, too. There's something called Project Beloved.
Yes.
You had mentioned. And I want to get into that one.
So there's a woman named Noelle Gross, who was from the Stamford area, and she was working, or actually she volunteered, to pray in front of the Planned Parenthood down in Stamford. And she became a sidewalk advocate for life, which is it's a particular model that people will follow when they're praying outside of the clinic. Mm-hmm. And she discovered that when she was out there, you know, trying to talk to the different women that were going in, that there weren't many resources that she could refer them to. And so what came out of that was this thought to create a pro-life medical facility.
Hmm.
And so this is, I've got to be a few years now, but she's actually in the fundraising stage now. But what the model that she's looking at is to bring a pro-life healthcare perspective for women. So it talks about natural family planning, the Creighton model, which is a very scientific-based model for natural family planning, counseling, resources for women, because we really don't have anything in the area. There's a few models. There's the Gianna Center model that is in New York City that's affiliated with St. Peter's Medical Care in New Jersey. There's also Sia Jana Center in Long Island, but we don't have anything local. And so she started to look at different places around the country, what they had. And so this is, you know, something that was very near and dear to her heart, that she really wanted to bring it to Connecticut and, you know, to the Stamford area.
Now, what really is needed to have that come to fruition for her? I guess I'm saying, gee, what difficulties or what had to happen to make this?
Well, money is one.
It's always money.
It's always money. A lot of money. But from what I understand, there's a lot of kind of empty medical buildings that are in the area in Stamford. And so there is, you know, a lot of potential for them to secure a place. But it's just a matter of them getting some money. So, that, like I said, they're in a fundraising aspect of it now. I think they have a matching donor. They have a 77,000 goal. So they have a donor who will match that. And I believe you can go on their website, which is www.projectbeloved.co, C-O. But again, people can go on the Respect Life Ministry website for the diocese, and that information will be on there. But it's a phenomenal undertaking. But she has really, I remember like talking to her from the very beginning of it, sitting in like a little room and discussing it. And she's got some people that are helping her out. And she's got a phenomenal website with all the information that that's on there of what she would like to do and bring to Connecticut.
Well, we wish her well.
Yes.
On that end of it. Boy. Now, in taking a look at what you do at Respect Life, what would you say would be, let's say, the core program that you think is essential
mm-hmm.
to let things go?
I think definitely a part of it is really understanding our teachings mm-hmm. of the faith mm-hmm. and being able to support parishes and the laity and especially our priests, our pastors that are in the parishes, to be able to help them bring about awareness and education, you know, in their parishes. I find that people often don't understand what the church teaches about life.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of misconceptions. And so one of my goals is to be able to kind of get into the parishes and help the parishes understand what it is, you know, that the church teaches. And part of that is, you know, pastors have a ton of things on their plates. And what I would like to be able to happen is to have Respect Life coordinators. So maybe somebody the pastor can designate, so it's not all on him, but somebody that he can work with on the parish level to help him coordinate these efforts, give him the information, and just kind of assimilate, you know, stuff that we could do at the diocese and help them. And so that's kind of like a slow process, but we probably have about 12 coordinators right now, but to build up on that, just to make it easier for the pastors.
Yeah, and then it becomes a real network that you hope to have
Absolutely.
Throughout the diocese.
Absolutely.
Which is really, you know, I can imagine that any woman who's concerned about questioning the situation and not wanting to make sure they learn more, it's almost at that street level, parish level,
yes.
where they should need somebody to turn to.
Yes, yeah. A grassroots effort, really.
Yeah,
and to be able to, if you think about it, if every parish had somebody that they can kind of ask questions about or, you know, get information on, I mean, we'd be in pretty good shape, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, in the pews, you have families, you have people mm-hmm. Who may know people, who know people,
yeah.
you know, who may really need to talk.
Yes, yes.
And, I wish you really well there, and I hope they start making that happen for you.
Thank you.
When we think of, you know, the whole idea, especially on the abortion issue, is the child
mm-hmm.
within the womb
mm-hmm.
that somehow, well, I guess you keep wondering what's being promoted. I mean, medically, from conception, you have everything. I mean, all the framework is there, the blueprints are there, things are developing and
mm-hmm.
growing.
Mm-hmm.
And you can take a look at human life from that point to its last breath.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering, what is it simply promoted that human life is not a human being
yes.
at that point?
Yeah, I think, you know, often people say about the clump of cells. That's probably mm-hmm. a typical way of how people describe what they're told, that it's mm-hmm. it's not a human person yet. But science tells us differently.
Yeah.
And it's really baffling how it's denied. I don't know how it can be, but and so that's kind of, you know, talking about the truth of things, right? We have scientific evidence that backs all of those things up, and yet they're told something else.
There was a scary thing that I remember hearing from a physician. There's something like that. Well, the question now is, when does human life have value? Boy, oh boy.
Yeah.
Now, there's a, you know, Hitler-esque kind of thing. When does human life have value?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But, and that's brought again to the forefront now with this new act of Governor Cuomo in New York. Now, all of a sudden, we're talking about if abortion basically is botched and the child was born alive.
Right.
And now you could let it die.
Yes.
I mean, I presume they just put it on the side somewhere. I don't know what they do.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, certainly there have been stories about somebody who has survived an abortion. I don't remember her name.
I remember a number of those. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. That they survived an abortion, that they were in a room, and a nurse wound up picking the child up and helping the baby. You really have to question, how does that, if the medical profession is to save lives, now we're doing things that are contradictory to that.
You know, it goes back to that Hippocratic oath, the first do no harm.
Yes.
That's out the window.
Right.
And I also end up thinking in terms of the view of the elderly.
Yes.
Now, the talk about cost of health care, and longevity itself now, you begin to wonder if they're going to start developing programs of simply discontinuing care to reach a certain age or, you know.
Yeah.
It is really scary.
It is.
What we're talking about. And the thing that makes it even more of a problem, it goes back to that value of human life.
Yes.
And how cheap it becomes. And you begin to wonder, you know, how it touches suicide, how it touches shootings, mass shootings.
Right.
That people just, you know. Pfft.
Right.
So the church has a big role, I mean, a big task ahead of it.
It does.
And you do.
Yes. Yes.
Please take your I hope that you will, you know, we all, I guess, have to try to make our brush stroke and then the larger pattern and do what we can.
Yes.
I would like to focus on the woman again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because she's, the law gives her this right.
Right.
Within her is born or a child. She bears a child within her.
Mm-hmm.
She's encouraged to say, I guess you said it's my body.
Right.
But it's someone else's body we're talking
about.
It
is. And we don't often think of that, or that's certainly not what society is telling us. You know, if the focus is mostly on the woman and her right to choose, and the child does not have any right whatsoever. And so, you know, as a society, where are we going with this? You know, those are the things that I kind of question. And this is where we see our Catholic faith can come into play, and you know, why we believe what we believe. Why do we have respect for the human life? Why do we care so much? And again, it kind of goes back to the beginning when we were just talking about, you know, that we're created in the image and likeness of God, and, you know, what value does that bring?
Mm.
If I remember correctly, you worked in chaplaincy. Is that right?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
Yeah. So I have background in that as well. At Bridgeport Hospital, I went through a chaplaincy program, and certainly you see the gamut, right?
Oh,
of all kinds of
the whole thing. Yeah,
people in different stages. And I think, I mean, this might sound kind of weird, but death to me was always very sacred, as you know, birth is as well. But there was just something about being with a person, you know, something that really touched me. And I saw so much value in that, you know, when they were at the end of their life, you know, just being with them and just accompanying them. And I'm sure you've probably had similar experiences, you know, and maybe what did that mean to you, you know, even as a priest?
Yeah, you know, without a doubt, I think that those 15 years of chaplaincy at Danbury Hospital were the most powerful time I've had.
Right.
And you're right. To be with, you could go into the labor and delivery, and be there to celebrate a birth of a child with one person, and to witness, you know, another one is going to have a stillborn child,
right?
And to see all that entire emotional swing that you have to address too,
right?
And death is a very was very big part of those years.
Yes. Yeah.
Especially, you know, those, especially between 2 a.m. and 4 a.m.
Right.
I remember the calls.
Right.
That always seemed to be when someone was approaching or actively dying.
Right.
I use that term.
Right.
And to be with them. It's a phenomenal.
It is.
Experience.
Yes.
And.
Yeah. And I use that word sacred.
Yeah.
Because there is something very special about it.
Yeah. The real. Yeah.
And again, I think people are afraid. You know, and there's kind of that phrase that I was just talking about transformed fear. And how beautiful is our faith that we are able to walk with people to help them transform their fear. Mm. And we certainly find that, you know, working in chaplaincy.
In chaplaincy, you really are, you know, we talk about resources a lot, but you walk in as a real resource in some way. And it just your heart and your whole outreach to the person is, and you're brought to... Let's say explore your own faith, your own ability to share that.
Yeah.
Wow, that tremendous power there.
Yes,
and you know I tend to see, I've always tend to see the medical field and those involved with it, the nurses and doctors. I don't think I've ever seen any kind of coldness or disregard.
Right.
For a person who's dying.
Right.
Yet you take a look at the the legislature and then what's going on with these.
Right.
You know, this general feeling of, you know, this isn't a gift of God you've received. It's something you could have or dispose of.
Right.
As you will.
Yeah.
I wanted to get into that program that you have, again, staying with the woman who is really dealing with sometimes, a huge amount of pressure.
Mm.
Project Rachel is a post-abortion project, I believe.
Yes.
And I know that in the confessional, I know I've sent people to that as a help for them.
Mm-hmm.
What does, for our listeners' sake, Project Rachel, what does that involve?
So the program, like I had mentioned before, is we use an Entering Canaan model, which starts out with a day of prayer and healing.
Mm.
And so that usually runs from about 9 to 4. And we have some talks, we watch a video, we do a little discussion group. And there's also opportunity for reconciliation, adoration, and confession. And then we end a day with Mass. And as I mentioned, it's sacramentally based. So there you have all the sacraments, adoration, confession, Mass. But it's the beginning of the journey. And I think sometimes people think, okay, I'll just go to this one day thing and it'll be all done and over with. Mm. But what I like to just encourage the women is that this is just the beginning. It takes a lot of strength and courage to kind of, you know, look and walk the path of, you know, what the woman had chosen to do and reconciling that with God. And, you know, I always encourage them to, you know, just to remember how much God loves them and that this is what the program is about. It's really allowing them to come closer to God, come closer to Christ, and to allow that healing process to happen. And it takes a while. It's not just something that you can do in one day.
Mm-hmm.
And then afterward, the ministry is very small right now, but we like to build up to doing a monthly gathering where we can come together maybe for adoration and then, you know, just some different discussion topics. And then there is the Hope and Healing Weekend. So that's after we've had a couple of days of prayer and healing. We will then run a Hope and Healing Weekend, which is just more extended time. Again, it's talks, it's, you know, time in the sacraments, adoration, confession, Mass. And then, you know, just to continue on, there's a mercy retreat, an annual mercy retreat that I've been working with this woman, Teresa Bonapartis, who's the one who co-developed the Entering Canaan model with the Sisters of Life. And she just had a retreat, a mercy retreat, and it was a beautiful, wonderful retreat in Sterling, New Jersey, at a retreat center there. And just, it's the community that you build up with the women, just coming together, having supports, knowing that you're not alone, that you're not the only person that has gone through this. And, you know, a lot of the women, they have the same feelings and emotions. And so it's a great way for them to connect with each other, to empower each other, and to walk with each other through this difficult time, you know, some of the decisions and choices they've made. But at the center of it is Christ. You know, Christ loves them and continues to call them back over and over, just to continue the healing process.
Yeah, because and I think it's very important that if it's not you don't see it in the media that often, that the church is feeling it's almost like they want to throw rocks, you know, stone these women to death, you know.
Yes.
And it's and you can see it would be a lifelong need for a research. You can almost imagine that years after that there is a real a need to address the whole thing again.
Yeah. You know? Well, if they're you know, walking the journey, you know, for a while, certainly it takes women sometimes many, many years. I mean, sometimes 30, 40 years. You think about how holding that in all that time and just how hard that is, you know, and... But just being able to then start unpacking it and journeying with others, it's transformative, and that's what it is. Anything that we have, you know, any kind of things that we've done in our life, you know, we're constantly being transformed. And so, you know, entering Canaan is the way that you know, women can come and men, because there is a men's retreat that will be happening in New Jersey with one of the Franciscan Friars of the Renewal will be the spiritual director. And then there's also a siblings weekend that will be happening in New Jersey as well. Mm. So there's, you know, plenty of opportunity for people, you know, in different walks of life to maybe start looking at those things and to begin a healing journey.
Mm. What do we need to understand as far as the support of, let's say from a priestly approach or, from those involved in parish programs, whatever it might be, to present, or, you know, perhaps without even knowing it, to present themselves as accessible to someone?
I think one of the biggest ways is certainly through a homily, but just, I mean, especially with Lent, we're in the process of Lent, in the middle of Lent, you know, not to be afraid to talk about it. I think sometimes priests might find it's uncomfortable. They're afraid they might offend people. But when you talk about it in the context of love and mercy and of God, you know, calling us to return to Him and forgiveness, and, you know, we have a program, Project Rachel, in our diocese. If anybody has gone through an abortion experience and, you know, feels like they've been impacted by it, we have resources in our diocese. And just to make referrals, certainly putting it in the parish bulletins. And actually, I have a little cards, business cards, with the information that I like to give out to priests. So in the confessional, if they feel like, you know, women should continue on with seeking some kind of healing, they can give out a little business card so it's discreet and they can stick it in their pocket.
You know, I keep drawing back to the confessional where so often people will come in and they will express things that they've been carrying with them for decades. And maybe they felt they've, or they say, Father, I've confessed this before, but I really need to.
Yeah. And that should be an indicator that there is more healing that needs to happen, and that those would be great referrals to Project Rachel. If you have somebody coming in confessing it over and over again, they're not feeling, as you know, Christ has forgiven them already, but they're not forgiving themselves. And so that's where Project Rachel comes in.
And they're seeking that forgiveness. They're seeking that healing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, they really need it.
Yes.
So it's such a human, you know, from beginning to end, you're involved so much with the, all the human, not only psychology, but emotions that play a role. What I'd like to just ask is something, too, about being involved with your program. I'm going to get very prosaic now. Are there fees attached to what you do?
No. What I do for any kind of Project Rachel ministry, we just have a free will offering. So, you know, if somebody can't afford to pay anything, that's fine. But if they can afford anything, you know, it's whatever they feel that they can afford. And I try to make that as flexible as possible. I don't ever want money to be a determining factor of somebody coming in seeking healing.
When you, I'm thinking that, I think the Sisters of Life, mm-hmm. when I've been, when I've spoken to them,
mm-hmm.
they tend to find a number of these women who come to them in a position where they haven't really had much faith formation in
right,
their life.
Right.
Could you, now, is your program directed toward providing some sort of resource there too for faith formation or?
Well, I certainly think, as I mentioned, that it's sacramentally based. So often women haven't, like, have been to adoration or things like that. So introducing them to that, and then, you know, as we follow through with the monthly gatherings and things like that, it's, you know, building up that community, and it's always tapping into our sacramental resources. And then, yeah, certainly if they need to have formation or have questions, you know, it's having that network of priests that we can refer women to if they have questions, spiritual direction, things like that. Those always are very important tools for us to help the women continue with their formation and their healing.
Because you know, a lot of times they come in and they say, well, gee, this is legal, and they tell me it's okay.
Right.
And yet they have to think in a different way.
Yes, you know,
yes. In a spiritual way.
Yeah.
Now, there are a couple of different things going on that we had spoke of, and I like to just let listeners perhaps haven't heard former programs about there's this movie called Unplanned, which
yes.
is coming out.
Yes. So that is premiering on Friday, March 25th. And I do believe we have some theater buyouts in the local area in Norwalk.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in Trumbull, St. Teresa's Knights of Columbus Council that spearheaded the fundraiser has a theater buyout at the theaters in Trumbull, the movie theaters in Trumbull.
Mm-hmm.
And they can contact me for information if people are interested in seeing mm-hmm. that. I can connect them with the people that are organizing the theater buyouts.
Okay. So what I'd like to provide to our listeners, too, is some information because we're right near the end of the program.
Right.
And I'd like to let them know where they can learn more about what you do and contact you.
Yeah. So they can call me at 203-416-1445.
That's 416-1445.
Correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then they could also go to the diocesan website. They just go to the top bar under ministries. They scroll down. They'll see RespectLife/Project Rachel.
And that's great. Good. So we do hope that if someone is listening who may want to afford themselves the program on Respect Life that's provided for the diocese. And I could assure you that I'm sure every diocese has their programs too.
They do.
And we also would like to encourage our listeners to see that not only the life of the unborn child, but the life of the mother, the life of the father, the life of all involved will be valued and loved and nurtured. So we have been speaking with our coordinator for Respect Life, Maureen Giardiello of the Diocese of Bridgeport. Maureen, thank you again.
Thank you, Father Ray.
And to all our listeners, please join us again next week. God bless.